Blog Talk Radio.
Call me a child of God. I am very, very excited that you've tuned in on this wonderful, wonderful Monday night, one we've never seen and one we will never see again. But the blessing is we are in it. And so I am grateful that you decided to spend this time with me for this quick little hour of power. And so for those of you that don't know me or don't know why we do what we do, the main reason is that God blessed me. Can you believe 10 years ago with this vision, or more than that, actually, to be able to have a platform to encourage, to educate, and to empower. And so we pray each week that the lesson and the things that we say are encouraging, and then we share some knowledge or share some wisdom and share some nuggets to educate you. May not be a brand new topic, but it's definitely one that you can expound on and get more information, and then to be empowered to make the necessary changes if there's needing to be any, and then being empowered to share it with someone else. So we want to encourage you, we want to educate you, and we want to empower you. And so welcome, welcome, welcome. We are on every Monday night at 9 p.m. That's Eastern Standard Time. And so we'd love to have you back. For those of you that have been with me, praise God, for the 10 years, I'm extremely excited because you keep me encouraged, you keep me empowered, and you keep me desiring to study more so that I can be the right, have the right mind frame to do what God has called me to do, and that is to teach the Word of God. And so I'm so excited to share the love and to share the wisdom to all of you on tonight. And so I cannot go any further without thanking Jesse and Tammy Store and the Omega Ministry Group, because without their support and without their leadership and example on how to really focus on standing on the Word of God and then empowering and activating gifts, if you will, because that's what they did for me, activated a gift to give me a broader platform to minister from. And so I will always be indebted to them and all those that they have empowered and placed on a platform to do what God has called them to do. I have to give them their shout out for that. And so I think now the greatest and the biggest praise we give, we have to give to God, because praise God, without him, none of this would be possible. I wouldn't be here. You wouldn't be here. And so nothing that we do would have meaning or purpose without him. And so we always acknowledge everyone on the line, first and foremost. Course starts with that upbeat song when Jesus says yes, nobody can say no, and when he says no, nobody can say yes either. But praise God, it always gets my blood boiling and juiced and pumped up to teach the lesson. And then, like I said, I acknowledge all of you, and then we go to God in prayer before our lesson. So dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for being God all by yourself. We thank you that you don't need any help, praise God, but you do use us to be your hands and to be your arms and to do what is necessary to minister to this world that's, oh Lord, it's hurting. And so we thank you for those of us that have assignments and those of us that are obedient to our assignments to do your will and to do your work for you, praise God. We thank you for allowing us to be able to have a heart that wants to love, that wants to share your love, and why it's important for us to acknowledge love, because you are love. And so we just thank you, Father, for this lesson on tonight, that you will empower our hearts to be tuned into ourselves to find out where we are missing the gaps. And so mold us, Father, how you would have us to be molded so that we can represent you. We thank you, Father, that there may be people listening tonight or even pre-recorded recording that may not know you. And so we pray, Father, that you will give them something to hold on to want to get to know you better. And then for those of us, Father, that may be missing a few steps, we ask that you allow us to be ignited so that we can be in the right step and in the right posture so that we always can come before you with clean hands and a pure heart. We thank you that you said you are our shepherd and that we shall not want. But most importantly, we thank you that you are the vine and that we're branches. And as long as we stay connected to you, we will bear fruit that will remain, because without you, can't do anything. And so we just thank you, Father, for this time, for this hour, that you will be here, that you will say what needs to be said to help us do what needs to be done in this world that is a little interesting, Father. So help us to be the light, put our light under anything that may be hidden so that you can be represented in the world. We love you, we honor, we adore you. And if there's anything, Father, that will hinder this prayer, we ask that you clean our hearts and let us know what needs to be cleaned, what needs to be forgiven, what needs to be removed, all those things, Father, so we can always come before you correctly. We love you, we honor you, and we adore you. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Well, if you're just tuning in, this is Dr. Happy with Empowered to Change Blog Talk Radio, where we encourage, educate, and empower all to the glory of God. And I have to tell you, Saint, as far as for our lesson for tonight, my heart is a little heavy. And I couldn't understand because I was so excited going into the weekend because my baby played volleyball this weekend in Franklin, Tennessee. And she was doing her thing, and I was excited that God has blessed us to be, you know, part of this team. We have wonderful parents and wonderful kids. And there's just so many gifted kids, praise God, using their talents and using their abilities to represent their teams or represent themselves, and how just different scenarios happened through the weekend that reminded me why it is so important that we don't dumb down our light, why we have to share who we are and who we belong to, because it is a dying world and there are people that are hurting and people that are missing missing things in life because they don't know who to go to. And so those of us that do, we need to share our light. And so I think most of this kind of came from, it was interesting. I walked past one of the parents, and these were part of a new group this season. And so a lot of us are getting to know each other. And so I walked past, and one of the parents said, "Hey, what do you do?" And I was like, "Huh?" He said, "What do you do? I mean, what is your thing? What do you do?" And I said, "Oh, why are you asking?" Because I was curious, you know, why you want to know. I just walked by, and he said, "No." He said, "You always seem upbeat and happy. You know, you just have a glow. What is it that you do?" And I laughed. Of course, you know what I wanted to tell him, but nevertheless, I kept that part to myself. But I told him that he said, "Wait, you're Dr. Happy, right?" Because, of course, that's my name in the little chat for the parents. And I said, "Yes, like I live up to my name." And he said, oh. I said, "No." I said, "Let me tell you why I live up to my name." And so I gave him a little short form of my testimony. And he was like, "Wow." And so they were kind of down a little bit when I told him all the things I had been through. I was like, no, don't be down. I'm excited about all these things that happened to me because it lets me know that God can use me. I said, "Now, granted, I ain't like it while I was going through it, but nevertheless, he delivered me. So why would I be down? Well, I mean, last year, this time, I was walking with a walker. I mean, I needed assistance. And I'm like, I said, I ain't running quite yet. I said, but I can do a little stump because I was cheering, but nevertheless. I couldn't do that last year. So I said, yes. I said, I am excited. More so, I'm excited that I can share the gospel that God is real. And so I just kind of looked and it's like, oh, wow, amen. And then I start looking around and I started to see just how sad some people are. I thought, Lord, I mean, I don't want anybody to have to go through all the stuff I went through in order for them to be excited and happy about you. But I thought, Lord, why is it that so many people are hurting and so many people are grieving and you know, experiencing so much, you know, loss? And so he reminded me that he left something here for us to hold on to. And many of us don't know what that is. And it's love. And one of the coolest things that I had to recognize that love comes in many shapes, many forms, but it stems from God. It stems from God. And so if we don't know the word, if we don't know him, if we don't experience the examples of his love, how do we know? We think that, you know, love comes from so many other things. You know, love comes from my man or from my woman or... It's so much more than that. Love gives you the peace of mind if you don't have a man. Amen. You don't have a woman. You can still feel loved. But many of us don't experience it because we don't know. And I'm still kind of grieving a little bit, too, I think, from, you know, I lost my friend. And I felt bad. And I felt bad because I'm like, Lord, I went through all of this stuff and you kept me. Why didn't you save him? You know, he was just as, you know, excited and hungry for the word. I don't understand why you didn't, you know, let him tell his story. And so sometimes it does kind of grieve you a little bit because we don't understand God's ways. It's not meant for us to understand his ways. What we're responsible for is living the life that God gave us and being responsible because he completed his assignment, because God wouldn't have taken him home if he hadn't. And so I had to be reminded of that. And I had to be reminded that at the end of the day, when I stand before him, am I going to say, well, I was sad and so I just didn't do nothing? I don't think so. You got to take up your blanket and walk and do what God has called you to do. The time for us to be sorrowful and not pay attention is over. We need to do whatever we need to do. I was telling my daughter, I said, you have gifts and you have talents, but trust and believe there's somebody better than you. And so if you don't always stay on your feet and keep and build yourself, build, you can't stay the same. You're 14 now, but praise God, you're going to get 17 and 18. And if you keep the same skill at this level, how will you master the next level if you stay at this level? You know, I was quoting a movie from, you know, it's another level. And but there are so many things that we all can move to another level. And one of the things that I think that God reminded me was just, you know, a few little incidents. And I know I go overboard sometimes. And so my children call me an overachiever and all those things that go with it. My family, you know, she goes to the 10th power. But what they don't understand, the reason why I do that is not for fame and not for recognition. I really, in my heart, believe what I do unto God. Because I'm looking for his reward. I could care less if anybody said thank you. Feels good. But that's not what I'm looking for. I want to see the face of people's hearts when they know, without a shadow of a doubt, that this was a gift that was made not necessarily by somebody that just has been something, that I took my time and I did what was necessary so that I could tell them that God gave me the strength to do that, that God gave me the giftings of whatever it is that I did, what I did with that, because, praise God, I wouldn't be able to do that. All the things that I've gone through, it's amazing. I'm even amazed that I can do some of the things I do, but I know that it's because it's rooted in the things of God, because I really want people to feel not just happy. I want them to feel God's joy. I really do. I really do. And so I'm always looking for ways to, you know, to better myself. I'm always looking for ways to help other people see the things of God in a better light. And so a couple of things I want to ask that came to mind when I was putting down my my notes. I thought, oh, wow, this is kind of passing. And so I'm going to ask you guys a quiz and just quiz yourself, you know, amen. There's no way for you to raise your hand for me to see, but you can, you know, raise your hand. But what do you do when you pass by a police officer when they pull somebody over? What do? You just keep driving or, you know, do you just look? Do you pay attention and see if they're really in distress? Or do you just, oh, wow, and keep driving? When an ambulance passes by, do you get out of the way? Do you try to see where they're going, that they're going in a neighborhood that maybe somebody that you know? I mean, what do you do when the ambulance passes by? When you see people stranded on the side of the road, do you just keep driving and make sure that you follow the law and move over to the next lane, the shift lane, so make sure they don't, you know, step in the street or something? Do you just keep driving? When you see people walking in the rain and they have groceries or have big bags, I mean, do you even see them or do you just keep driving? You know, or my favorite, when you go to the grocery store, because Lord knows I'm tiny in height, I should say, but I couldn't carry my baby and the basket and all and shop. I mean, but so when you see a woman with a whole bunch of kids, babies in the basket, babies on her hip and walking next to her pushing a car. I mean, what do you think about when you pass these people? Or how about, I do this often, when I see people at the Dollar General or the Dollar Tree or whatever, because that's, you know, amen, my business, so in them kind of places. But nevertheless, when they're counting change and then they're taking stuff out of their basket because they obviously don't have enough, so they're actually, like, you know, trying to determine which ones to keep in the baskets, which ones to take out. What do you do? Or when you know people are having a hard time, or you know people are, you know, struggling, I mean, what comes to mind when you see some of these things? Well, first and foremost, I'm going to go back to the police officer. When you see somebody pulled over, now I know my sister, and we've told her several times to stop doing this, pulling over and trying to see what's going on. If God encouraged you to do that, baby, you keep going. But what you can do and what we all should do is pray. Lord, in Jesus' name, make sure that situation is right. And make sure that person that got pulled over has the right credentials and knows what to say and what not to say, what to keep in front of the officers, their hands, their whatever. Let that be a correct situation so both of them can go home without a police report. Amen. And then when an ambulance passes by, Yes, we do get out of the way, but are you praying for where it's going? Lord, bless those people where it's going. Lord, make sure that they have the financial stability to handle. Because, Lord, I passed out one time in my daughter's doctor's office, and I was just feeling some kind of way, and I said, I need some air. And so when I went outside, before I knew it, I was laying on the ground. And so I could feel the people standing over me. And when I kind of came to, all the doctors and my children's doctors were standing over me. They were like, call an ambulance. And I'm like, no. That's expensive. I'll be all right. Just give me a minute. I'll be all right. But ambulances are expensive. And so when somebody has to have be carried away by ambulance, pray. Well, let them have the financial resources for them. Let them have insurance. More importantly, let the people be qualified that are going to see about these people and allow them to be able to do what is necessary to let that person be well and give the people and their families that are in the home peace while they're going through. I mean, the ambulance is a big thing. And so we're just complaining because they're holding up traffic. Oh, we got to get out of the way. They are going to somebody in trauma. Are you praying for those people? People on the side of the road. Whew, thank you, Lord, it ain't me. Amen. Now, I'm not saying if God ain't led you to pull over and ask them, do they need help? But, I mean, depending on what street you're on, you know, do you need me to call somebody for you? I mean, that's how we share love to people. But we don't think about it. We just keep it moving. They're dangerous. You know, we ain't even asking God, Lord, do they need my help? Are they praying? Now, I know that I got in trouble from a lot of people, praise God, but I did. I saw a man walking in the rain. He'd come from the grocery store, and he was going in the direction. I thought he was going in my same direction. And, of course, I pleased God, and I was like, Lord, if that light changed red, then I'm going to turn around and go get him. But, amen, it's just turned green, so by the time I get there, it still should be green. But if it's red, I know you want me to go back and get him. And sure enough, it turned red. I turned around and went back. And I said, sir, you're struggling. I said, I can help you. I said, you know, I can make sure that, you know, I'm safe. I can show you my license, blah, 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 blah. And he said, baby, I was praying. And I said, Lord, if you are really real, you'll send somebody to help me because I'm struggling. He said, you pulled over. So we just never know. Now, I'm not saying, not licensing people to do this because, like I said, I was kind of reprimanded for doing that. But I felt in my spirit that God wanted me to pick him up. Nevertheless, I do that with caution. But we can't just think everybody is bad. We have to ask God what we should do so we can share his love and kindness. And so, of course, the conversation to the part, he's like, I need to start going back to church. He said, because I prayed, Lord, if you let somebody pick me up, I promise I'll get my life right and do right because I really need your help. And so, praise God. And so one of the scriptures that I really, it took time for me to really grasp was John 15:13. It says, greater love has no one than this, that someone would lay down their life for their friends. I thought, Lord, I can't lay down my life for nobody. Amen. But I can do that now because I know I have the love of God. And so I know whatever, if I have to lay my life down, it's for a plan and a purpose for somebody to be moved closer to him. And so, yes, I would lay my life down for anybody. There was a time I would pick and choose and name it. But I really believe that John 13:34-35 says, a new commandment I give you, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also are to love one another. By this, all people will know you are my disciples if you have love for one another. And I thought, that's why that gentleman pulled me over and asked me, what was it that I do? It wasn't because I had a big Jesus shirt on. I had all my crosses and tattoos and earrings. None of that. It was my light that he saw. It's because, honestly, I really do believe the word. I really do believe it. I really do believe in love. I really do believe that we love because he first loved us. I know that for certain because I've tried and true. And so you got to get to a point in life where you understand that God loved you enough to give you whatever it is that he gave you. You may think, well, I didn't ask for these kind of parents or I didn't ask for this kind of lifestyle. I wanted to be a millionaire and I wanted to live with them. That may not be your assignment. And I had to adjust to that, too, because I thought, well, Lord, you know, I do a lot for a lot of people. But it's okay, so I give you all these things you want. Are you going to do what I called you to do, or are you going to be so caught up in you Now, I'm talking about me. I can't speak for everybody else because you might can handle $1 million. I know I probably couldn't because I wouldn't probably be obedient. I'd be trying to help as many people as I could, and then I would have nothing. But nevertheless, I'm excited about what God has for me, and I know and I understand where I am now, and I'm cool with it. And that is the peace of God that surpasses all understanding. I don't need a whole bunch of stuff. I want it. But I realize now I'm at a place in my life where I know I don't need it. I don't have to be first. I don't have to be recognized and regarded as this or that. I mean, I'm not even telling people I'm a pastor. I'm telling people the other word. But nevertheless, I am able to minister to more people using that phrase, preaching in my purpose, for those of you that know. But it is amazing to me, and I can only do that because I know how God is leading me when I say that and who I say that to. And so I can usually get people to understand, and then they listen to me. And then now I can able to really minister to them because I know my assignment, and I'm doing what God called me to do. And I believe this word true and true. And so when we talk about the word, talk about examples, and one of the things that I think I liked, didn't quite understand it in the beginning, because I thought, you know, one of it was part of the song, so I would say it. But in 1 Corinthians 13, it talks about love. It says love is patient and love is kind. Well, sometimes, you know, when we fall in love, we want to fall in love instantly, you know. Love is first sight. Love is patient. I don't really believe. I believe we have a kindred spirit when we, you know, are attracted to people. But love takes time. Because love is just, we sometimes confuse love and lust. And lust doesn't have to be sexually motivated. Lust can be a lot of stuff. And so we have to be mindful. I just want it. And so when we love something, we are patient. We're patient and we're kind. And then I like that it says, it moves on to say, it does not envy, it does not boast, it is not proud. Now, sometimes when we get to a point where we can see the writing on the wall, when you got to talk a lot about what you're doing, many times than not, it's probably either not happening or so much that you're just bubbling over and you can't help yourself. But for the most part, you know, it's connotation of boasting or we're bragging. Now, you know, there are people that I've seen that really honestly, truly love each other, and you can tell that they really do love each other. And so that is, to me, not proud or boastful. It's just, it is what it is. It's just like, you know, you can see somebody, like I guess that guy could see on me, that I'm free. And when you're free, my mentor that was on last week, and she, you know, helped me through that process of being delivered, it was free is free indeed. It really is. There is nothing. You can't even put it into words or describe what it means to really understand who you are in your purpose. But you don't have to brag. You don't have to tell anybody. It loses steam. And so you don't have to be the loudest person in the room. You don't have to do a lot of talking. People can see it because the glow of God is on you. And that was always one of my desires in the first place, because I always believed, like I said, I believe the word. When we hear about Moses and how every time he was in the presence of God, he glowed, you could see the radiance on his, I want that. Every time I'm in God's presence, I want to be radiant. And we all should. That means that we're in his light, his love and his light in us, that it has to exuberate. And through all our body parts, amen, I was just walking by. And it was like, what is it? What is it that you do? That was impressive. Not because it was me, amen. But just say, I looked crazy that day because I didn't have time to get myself together. But he could see that. He wasn't looking at my physical appearance. He saw my heart. And so things we have to figure out, how do we do that? How do we get to a point where the love of God oozes out of us and we don't even have to say nothing? They can feel it in our presence by us walking by. I love that the word goes on to say in this 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Oh, wait, I said it's Donald Trump says 1 Corinthians and 13 chapter. But I like that it says in verse 5, it does not dishonor others, it's not self-seeking, and it's not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrong. I think it takes a maturity, and that's why I love that God used the scripture and said love is patient first, because it takes time to get to a point where you don't keep record of wrong. It takes time to get to a point where you're not self-seeking. It takes time to not be easily angered. It takes time to not dishonor people. It is so easy. And I used to love me some gossip. Amen. I used to tell people, I don't try to spread it, but I like listening. Amen. To tell people in the know. But I don't need that anymore. I don't really care. And because I guess I realized that, as my uncle would say, if a dog will bring you one, he's taking one back. And so we have to be mindful when we are thirsty and hungry to hear wrong things about other people, that somebody is saying some nasty stuff about you. And it doesn't feel good when that turn is on you. And so I don't like to dishonor people anymore. I mean, you know, I have my own issues, I have my own problems, and so I don't have time for it anymore. And I think the things that I love the most about being in this vein, where I really understand what the love of God is that things come to you when you just follow Him. Just follow Him. One of my songs that kind of helped me when I was going through, because I love upbeat songs, them slow songs, come to Jesus. Yeah, that doesn't move me. That depresses me. And even though the words are meaningful, I got to have some upbeat. And so I can't remember what her name is, but she gave an upbeat to Trouble in My Way. And that song, it just does something. Trouble in My Way. I have to cry sometimes. Trouble in my way. And then she said, you just got to let Jesus fix it. And after a while, it comes through. It really is. But all you got to do is just let Him. You got to let Him do it. You trying to do it, you make a mess of it. And so when you get involved, then, amen, it makes you angry. It causes you to seek self-help, self-medicate. You do a lot of self. And so a girlfriend called me the other day, and she's like, yeah, I heard this really cool thing. And she said, I know I'm going to just tell everybody, and I'm going to make sure. And she said, you came to mind. And I said, I did. And I said, well, why did I come to mind? And she said, you know, and so she was going on, and I kind of chuckled. And I said, well, from a spiritual standpoint, we have to make sure that we have manifested those areas before we speak on them. I said, if you notice, I said, I try very hard not to speak on a subject that I know I haven't mastered, because I know that the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And while I think I'm calling on such and such because their life needs to change, when I got that big boulder, I mean, a community park in my eyes, and I'm trying to pick out a little speck out of somebody else's eye, can't be hypocritical. And so, yes, I love revelation. And so it's almost like when a child gets a brand new toy, they want to tell everybody what they got. I got the newest blah, 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 blah. And, you know, and you just go on. But eventually, that toy will get old, and they'll put it down, and they'll wait for something new. And so sometimes when we get revelation and we get knowledge, it's not necessarily for us to tell other people, but for us to fix ourselves. And so we have to be mindful. And so when I say it's not self-seeking, it's not not boastful, sometimes you just go, oh, I got this, and this, she should have been here to hear this message because that's her all day long. But you're the one sitting there, and you're the one hearing the message. So maybe the message was for you. Amen. We just have to make sure that we are in tune to our own situations and making sure that we're asking God, Lord, love on me so that I understand how I am to love others. And then when you love others, keep a record of wrong. You'll wait and allow God to provide the opportunity for you to minister. Now, one of the things that I love about this, even this phrase of scripture, it says in verse 6, love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. And verse 7 said, it always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always preserves. Always means always. So even if I heard a message that I thought my daughter could really benefit from, am I going to agree you should have been in church today because they would talk about you because you know you do this all the time? Is that protecting? Is that giving her hope? No. Now, sometimes my mouth does get to moving quite a bit, but praise God, I've gotten to a point where the Holy Spirit will convict me, and I'll be quiet. Not criticize me, but he convicts because he wants me to make sure you're not the vine again. Remember, back up, you're the branch. Let me be the vine. And you mentioned what I tell you to mention because at the end of the day, you know, I want her spirit to be protected. I want her to trust me. I want her to always have hope that her mom, you know, wants her to have the best. And so I have to be mindful. And so that just doesn't happen overnight because remember the first scripture that we read was love is patience, love is kind. And sometimes our mouth gets to moving and we think you need to be and you should be and here, there, and everywhere. We have to be mindful. And that's why love is the answer for everything that we do. Are you doing this in love? How do I approach the people that I rented the car from this weekend? My daughter wanted to try out for this regional kind of team where they do a lot of training with college coaches and stuff. And so I was like, Lord, you know, if you want us to do this, then amen, make a way. Well, praise God, I rented a car, and I found a really good deal on a car, and so I was able to pay for it ahead of time. And so praise God, when I went to pick it up, they said that I didn't have the same credit card that I had on file. And I was like, I know that's not true because, praise God, I'm still building my credit, so I know I ain't got but one. So this is the only one I have, so it has to be this one. He's like, no, it's not that one. And so it was just so much drama. And then it was, I had to have a utility bill. And I thought, who drives around with utility bills in their car? And so that took up time. And so by the time we finished, the car that I had paid for already a month ago, how is it now? Hey, amen. You don't even have that car. So you rented that car while I'm trying to figure out how to get a utility bill. I need to get to Tennessee, so I'm stuck. And he said, well, I have this car. He said, now I only have one car left. And so I was like, okay, fine, I'll take it because, you know, now at first time, I got to get there. And so the car up, and we get inside, and it had the wacky tobacco smell, if you know what I mean. I mean, and it was super strong. I was like, I can't drive this. And he said, man, that's all we have. And my daughter's like, I really want to try out, Mom. And so, amen, you know, praise God, he had a sunroof. So, you know, and it feels kind of chilly, but we had the sunroof open. We had the windows down trying to get there, and we didn't get there. And so I thought, Lord, you know, I'm upset with these people. He lied because he said that, you know, because I called the company, of course, and they said, no, all he needed was a deposit, which I knew. But he wanted a sale for himself, and so he lied. So I'm hot mad. So I was like, when I get back, I'm going in. And then, praise God, because I studied over the weekend this lesson, it was, no, you're not. You're going to, you know, speak in love. And so when I saw him, of course, my flesh wanted to jump him because he did that on purpose. But he was like, Mama, did everything go well for you? I'm like, well, actually, it didn't. I said, can you come put your head in here? Can you smell what I smell? And I said, so I had blurred vision a little while. You know, I didn't know if it was because my eyes was really kind of bothering me or if I was, you know. And he started laughing. He said, man, we're going to take care of you. He said, we'll credit you. The next one will be on us. Now, if I went in there cussing mad like I wanted to, well, I've gotten an extra car. Now, I probably won't use it because I would never use that company again. But nevertheless, I was able to do it in love and not in rage and anger and all the stuff that I had. And then I didn't hold that against him. And I just, you know, I told him, you know, make sure, you know, you check that out for other people because this is a problem. And he said, yes, ma'am, I know. You see how the difference is? Now, I could have and made sure he understood and stuck it to him and got him fired and had him written up and all that. And what was that at first? I don't even know that man. Maybe he got little kids at home and he needs that job and he needed the extra bonus. I don't know. I'll let God handle that. But I like that, again, it says love does not delight in evil but rejoices with the truth. I didn't want evil to come upon him. At the time when I was snowing all that crazy stuff, driving with the windows down and it's cold outside. But at the end of the day, I got there. And when we got there, we didn't get there in time, but we got there in time enough to really hang out with some of the other teammates. And so she bonded with. So that was God's design. It wasn't designed for us to be there for that. And so I accepted it for what it was. And then I love that the next scripture in verse 8, it says, love never fails. So if it was meant for us to go, we would have been there. And so maybe this wasn't time. I mean, granted, she's only 14, so she's not looking to be, you know, connected to any colleges at this point. But praise God, we have time. And that would have been an extra expense. And God, again, he never fails. He knew exactly what I needed. And right now, I didn't need that extra expense. And so praise God. I love the fact that it says, I'm skipping over. Let me just read those. Because it says, love never fails. But where there are prophecies, they will cease. And where there are tongues, they will be sealed. And where there is knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part, we prophesy in part. But when completeness comes, what is in part disappears. When I was a child, I talked like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. But when I became a man, I put away childhood behind me. And so, praise God, when I look in the mirror, you know, I always put myself in the scripture. Now when I look in the reflection, now when we see only a reflection as in a mirror, then shall we see the face to face. Now I know in part, and I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. And so, it is so important that you know yourself and you know yourself to be true. To my own self be true, you got to know the areas that you need to work on and then be willing to do it. I tell my daughters often, baby girls, it's just not all out of the sky. You got to put an effort to it. I said, when God blessed me to realize what my calling was to be a teacher, I said, did I wait for, you know, somebody to just knock on my door and say, hey, you need a mentor? No, I had to go out and I had to figure that out. I went back to school. And so, praise God, I had one degree, praise God, and that degree should have been a teacher's degree. But praise God, I wanted to be homecoming queen, so that took precedence. So I graduated with something extra so I could fully enjoy my reign as a queen. Crazy. But nevertheless, amen, I did what I did. But I couldn't go back because then it was I had to graduate. And then, you know, life happens and I couldn't go back to school. And so it was almost 20-some years later that, amen, God gave me an opportunity to go back to school. And not only did I get one extra degree, I have 5 total degrees now. Amen. I want to go back to school. And so one of my kids and my students in my class is like, Dr. Head, why are you going to get another one? And I said, you know, I don't get these degrees to say I have them. I am thirsty for the knowledge that I get. I didn't appreciate that when I did in my undergrad. I still don't understand how I got my undergrad, but nevertheless, God knows I'm grateful for it. Hallelujah, still my college. But I wasn't paying attention when I went through that the first time. I still don't understand how I got a degree, but nevertheless, God knew. But now that I'm old, like I said, I put the childish things behind me. Now when I look in the mirror, I want to see that God is pleased with me because I've done what he's called me to do. My girlfriend at the school, she's like, wait, you really do your lesson plan that far out? And I'm like, yeah, because I want to know, you know, if I have to switch some stuff up or if I need to, you know, make some changes. I am so excited to have these young minds that are open about American government and African-American literature. I am moved that I can take the little bit of things that they know, the little things that they've experienced, and then add them to the storyline and make those two classes even connect to make them engage. And so she asked me, she said, why are they doing your work and not doing the other classes? And I'm like, you know, I don't know. But I am doing what God is leading me to do to engage them. And I'm thirsty. I know what it means to teach and what it means to be responsible for planting the right seeds in the children, because I understand that love is patient. I understand that time is patient, and that if somebody has to plant the seed, somebody has to water the seed, somebody has to take care of it. God's going to do the pruning, of course, but we never know where we are in that phase. And so if this is my opportunity that 10 years from now they become senators or governors, I would hope to think that they would remember that, you know, I made government fun for them, because it's part of life that we all need to be responsible to what's going on. And just as we're responsible, as I said, we pass a police officer and they, you know, are harassing someone. I mean, of course we have to be led by God, because, you know, the devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy, and you, you know, in all your glory, amen, can get shot too if you're not in the right, in the will of God, amen. Just saying. But if God has called you, amen, and you know your rights, amen. It's so funny to me how many people don't even know our constitutional rights on what we should say and what we should do. Now, mind you, to a barrel of a gun, that don't mean nothing. But it means a whole lot when you go home quietly and operating in the love of God. And then you go home and you go through your index or whatever you go through and find you a nice attorney, because now you have authority to stand on, because you know what you're doing. It's one thing, and that's why I love the word. I read the word because I have the knowledge that I need so that I can stand on the word. And I know it to be true because I read and I study. And so I can be patient. I can be kind. I can, you know, walk away and not be angered, easily angered, or not keep up wrongdoing. I can delight and rejoice in the truth because I know that God's truth is always going to win. And just for the record, my little station break, one of the terms that really gets under my skin is when people say, it's my truth and your truth. It's only one truth, people. It's God's truth. He knows all. He knows the intent of why you did what you did. We're talking about, this is my truth, whatever. Your intent was ugly, and so that is not truth. That is ugly. Amen. But nevertheless, we have to be mindful. We know what the truth is, but we'll argue our point. But if we're going to be honest and we're going to operate in love, we have to yield to the things of God, and his truth is the truth, period. It is the truth. And so I know that I'm running out of time, and I can continue to talk, of course. But I wanted to make sure, because I love me some steps, I have these B's to go kind of, you know, with the B attitude. I love the B attitude, but B to help us remember these B's. In order for you to operate in love in every aspect of your life, you have to be open. One of the things I think that we fail to do when we have challenges with people, or we have situations that we're in disagreement, sometimes we are closed-minded and we don't hear. And so we're not open. I am always open. And so I am so, so grateful that God blessed me to understand that my way ain't the highway. If his way is the highway. And so if I follow him, if someone says, Leah, you offended me, no, I didn't. That is never going to be my statement. It's, what did I do? And you explain to me. Now, I'm open, because maybe I did something that I wasn't responsible for. And I'm going to apologize, because, again, I read the word, and I am firmly and flat-footed believing that when Jesus comes back for me or calls for me, I am not going to have somebody's situation to prevent me from going to heaven because I'm harboring. No, ma'am. I will apologize up front because it ain't that deep for me. And because my heart is to love, and I hate confusion. I can't do confusion anymore, because I know that's part of the enemy, and he's a worm, and he'll wiggle his way in, and once he's in, amen, it's hard to even figure out where he is, because remember, fever and deception means you don't know. Don't give no place to the devil. Amen. So I'm open. Tell me if I'm in error, if I'm in wrong, so I can pray about it. If I can't respond immediately, give me something so God will give me the right words, because Leah will mess it up. But I want God to give me the right words so that when I respond, to let you know, okay, I validate your feelings. And so if I hurt you, I apologize. And trust and believe, when you hurt me, I'm going to say something now too, because what I was doing was loathing and self-sabotaging, because I hurt my feelings and I just kept it to myself and I didn't say anything, and then I'm repeating it, and the enemy is like, nope, nobody cares about you. That's from hell too. No, we're going to be open, and we're going to say, and I'm going to wait for God to give me an opening for me to say what needs to be said so that we all can be clear. Amen. So be thoughtful. Again, even if somebody says I'm being open, I'm going to be thoughtful. I'm not going to go, you know, I know it's wrong. One of the coolest things my mentor that was on last week told me, she said, Leah, just because you know the answer don't mean you have to say it. And I'm like, but if they're going the wrong way, she said, then that's on God. That's not on you. If he don't tell you to say nothing, then you be quiet. I'm like, even if I know they're walking in the street and the trucks are coming, if God needs that to happen in order for them to see him, who are you to interfere? And I'm like, oh. Okay, but then it goes back to his ways are not our ways. And so if God tells you to be quiet, you be quiet. And so if you have to be thoughtful, Lord, what are you doing? Is this you? So you really need a backup? Okay, I'm a backup. Thank you. And then the next one is be willing to listen. Be willing to listen. Sometimes God will use other people to minister to you. I have a good friend, amen. And some days I'm grateful for our relationship, because I can say whatever I want to say and not be held accountable for it, in the respect of that she knows that, you know, most times they're talking. And she's like, okay. And so when I go too far, she's like, okay, we got to reel you in now. Okay, so what are we really saying? What is the word type? I love that. So but she's willing to listen. And so sometimes, you know, I get it out and then I'm over with it, and then, hey, we can keep it moving. And so I have to be willing to listen to people too. And so, that's why it's a blessing to really understand what love means, because she knows I love her. She knows I love her. She knows she knows I love her, and I hope she knows I love her. I think I said that right. But nevertheless, we both know that we can say whatever we need to be said, and praise God, nothing will be held against anybody. So we have that understanding that we're willing to listen. And we have the understanding. We are understanding that some days it's just not right. Even one time we got into this major situation, and I was like, that doesn't seem like her character. Now, normally, I could have cut her and the other woman completely off. Amen. And been done with it. But I'm like, I think that's the time. I've invested in energy. I'm going to wait and ask God to give me an opening. And then it was like, okay, did you mean to say this? Did you mean what this meant to me? And was able to clean that up. And that's why being honest is important. You have to be honest. And when you're honest, and even though there are times that I know, because I remember, you don't let me finish a statement. Yes, I do. No, you don't. I had to be honest with that. Okay, I'm sorry. I cut you off. I apologize. I'll let you finish. And sometimes I probably still do that, but amen, she loves me. So, but being honest with yourself to know, yes, I have issues. I quick, fast, in a hurry. All that extra talking and stuff is, oh, amen, let's just get to the point. But I know that about myself, because I can be honest with you. So I've had to learn to be quiet and be still and listen. And then that goes with being kind. And then when you're kind, praise God, there's different. My newest mentor, amen, that I'm she said, Leah, there's a difference between being kind and being nice. You kind of miss the lines up. There's a difference. Being kind is being willing to listen to people. Being nice is going the extra step. There's a difference. You got to know the difference of being nice and being kind, because people take your kindness for granted. No, there's a difference. You got to learn there's a difference of being kind. You got to be supportive. Like I said, so to me, for support is kind of the examples I was given. You see an ambulance go down the street, I mean, I'm being supportive as much as I can. Lord, you know, bless that situation. Every time I hear a siren, Lord, bless that situation, because they could be coming for me one day, and I want somebody to be praying for me that we're all in agreement that that's going to be right. And, you know, I have another opportunity to do the Monday night broadcast. Amen. And then be willing to forgive We have to forgive things. It's time out for us holding on to stuff that don't even matter, that the other person don't even remember no more. They moved on to five or six other things, and we still holding on to stuff and blocking up our blessings because we still holding on to stuff. Forgive, and then praise God, if you're open, if you're thoughtful, you're willing to listen, you're understanding, you're honest, you're kind, you're supportive, and you're willing to forgive, love will dry all of that out. It won't even matter anymore. It won't matter. Some things matter, amen, but God will help you get past those things. But and then last but not least, to end this prayer of this 1 Corinthians from verse 13, it says, and now these three things remain, faith, hope, and love, and the greatest of these is love. Saints, love is the answer. Please figure out where you are in that situation and in that equation and how God's love for you manifests through other people so people can see the love on you. Amen. Get it together, saints. You got to work on it. It's just not going to come. You got to work at it. Amen. Well, you know I could continue to talk, but praise God, I'm out of time. Never I talk, but I am out of time. And so I always close the broadcast off with my granny's favorite song, praise God. Every praise belongs to God because it does. And we want to remember that we always, always, always want to be open. We want to be thoughtful. We want to be willing to listen. We want to be understanding. We want to be honest. We want to be kind. We need to be supportive, and we have to be willing to forgive because love is the answer. Love, love, love. I want you to make sure that you start your day with prayer. Pray throughout your day and end your day with prayer. And remember to tune in again next week, same time, however you logged in or however you dialed in. This is Leah Killingsworth, Empowered to Change, Fox Talk Radio, where we encourage, where we educate, and we empower all to the glory of God. God bless you all. And remember, oh, tomorrow's Valentine's Day. That's another reason why we're on this love thing. But let's be kind to one another. It's wonderful to give love greetings. But make sure that there's godly love behind it, not just doing something to be doing it because, amen, we want to make sure that our love is genuine, not just on the pretenses. Remember, be open, be thoughtful, be willing to listen, be understanding, kind, be honest, supportive, and be willing to forgive. God bless you and have a wonderful, wonderful evening. Be blessed.